Well, Minister Thomas, thank you for joining us at Manx Radio today. We've had this very interesting report put before us, looking at the state of construction on the Isle of Man and specifically the costs involved. And it may not be a surprise to anyone, the findings of this, but costs are on the island are 18% above the UK average and comparable with outer London. This review, Atkins Realis, looking at it, Minister, and in the key problems it's identified, is it a surprise? Did we need this review to tell us this?
I think there'll be lots of people who've helped Atkins Realis come up with this conclusion who knew that, but this has given them a chance to explain it, because it's not only comparable to outer London and 18% more than the UK national average, it's also a lot more than the UK national average than it was 10 years ago, because 10 years ago it was only 7% more than the national average. Yeah. So something's changed in those 10 years.
Post 2020, am I right? Seems yeah. to be, and post-COVID, of course, seems to be a trigger point.
Exactly. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that we've been on a journey with thinking about this in the Isle of Man. So again, 10 years ago, there were people who were passionate about something called the Community Infrastructure Levy, which is where developers could contribute to different types of infrastructure, educational parks, it's called green infrastructure, around them, roads, grey infrastructure. But we moved on, and it emerged that in actual fact we needed to help developers, especially for brownfield sites, and that's what this quick, short report concludes. Essentially, it was that. I announced it in the budget. It was commissioned, finished. We've now published an interim version of it with just the evidence. And after the election, we need to move on to how we're going to work using things like the Manx Development Corporation and the Island Infrastructure Scheme.
And we'll move on to that shortly, and really the viability of brownfield sites and regeneration there. But if we just dive back into those key problems and the reliance on imported materials, a shortage of skilled construction workers and delays in the planning process, they're all things that government surely should have had a grip on. What has happened over the past 5-10 years to allow it to get to this state?
And each of them is different. So planning would be very much in the hands of government, because how we do planning is our decision, because we decide the planning law and we decide how much resources we apply. We've made changes, so pre-application advice, but what the report says is that people said, particularly from developers' community, that it took a long time to get the attention of the planners to actually help them with their application, and then people who spoke for the planners sometimes changed their minds or people overruled them. So that's a difficult issue. In terms of labour, that's what I've really focused on, because I was disappointed to read that over this last decade, we've ended up probably with fewer locally qualified people working in this sector. And we have to remember it's an important sector, 2,000 or 3,000 people working construction, but we've got fewer than we've got now, and that in itself is causing an issue for the prices.
Why do you think that's happened?
And then the suggestion in this report, and one I like and I want to have tested further, is in part government's contributed to that by, as resources have got tighter and as people have looked to get better value from capital resources, they've looked to bring people in from across and to use contract types from across and to change the way we procure things. And essentially, we've ended up doing ourselves down locally, and that's a pretty major conclusion that I've come to. And so therefore, we need to make sure that we've got a pipeline for capital projects. We are remembering that it's helpful for the island to have those skilled jobs, all jobs in fact, inside the island rather than bringing people across all of the time.
They go hand in hand though, surely. A vibrant construction sector is more of an incentive to go into that kind of work in the first place.
Exactly. So it's always an island problem, that economies of scale, and the more that we can do locally, the easier it is to be able to employ people and provide better value when people are building their own houses or we're having major projects to fill up brownfield sites. Yeah. So that's why I wanted this interim report published, because this should be a major talking point for candidates in the election. I know what my conclusions are likely to be after the election when we have the final report published, but one of them is that we've got to understand that we've made things worse for ourselves.
The reliance on imported materials, we're on an island, there's no getting around that fact. What do you think we can actually do to bring down the cost there?
So at first sight, you just say blame it all on the steam packet, but it seems like it's more complicated than that because Jersey and Guernsey have suffered the same problem. So to me, it's about thinking through how we do things, and then we work out how we get materials here, how we keep labour working here, how we keep the professionals around this process here. Yeah. So I think it all goes back to organising the capital programme. Ultimately, look, we're better off if we have better schooling, an adequate schooling in Peel, in Castletown, in parts of Douglas at primary level. And that helps our construction sector, and that will help all of us when we come to do our work on our own properties. And so therefore we've got to think of this and revisit the way we go about organising construction, it seems.
When we look at the projects that are underway at the moment, there are two big constructions down on Duke Street and around that area in Douglas. One, the Travelodge, which seems to be moving at a pace. Mm-hmm. The one behind it seems to have stalled. It's going very slowly over the past 5 years. You look down south to Castle Rushen. What does this report tell us about what we can expect from those developments? And is it much? Can we expect them to be moving at a pace, or...?
Well, I've seen more than is published today because this is an interim report, and the final report will be published, will be presented to Tim well before the end of the current calendar year, so by Christmas, I hope earlier. And essentially what it, two of those schemes, the first two you mentioned, are both part of the Ireland infrastructure scheme, and the consultants have helped us begin to evaluate the projects that have been supported or might be supported inside the Ireland infrastructure scheme. Castle Rushen High School is a separate project. There's been a lot of discussion about why that isn't as yet further forward than it needs to be. Likewise with the Peel School and other schools around the island. And that's what I mean. We need to go back to using the project money that we have properly to make sure that we have the infrastructure we need for education and health and for roads and for everything else that we need to do.
So let's look ahead then to, you've mentioned it a couple of times, how this is an interim report. It's short and brief, but a full report will examine a bit more, and including the future function and role of the Manx Development Corporation. What does it mean for the Manx Development Corporation? Does it mean we're looking at it again and saying, actually, it wasn't a great idea to begin with?
That could be one conclusion. I'm not preempting the conclusion we reach in October. There are all sorts of ways that development corporations can work. Just a week or so ago, attention was drawn, and I think Manx Radio even had a story about the development corporation, the mayoral development corporation just north of the ferry terminal in Liverpool. There are various models that have been used. Our development corporation has been developing things directly. It's also allowed to work with the private sector to develop things. There's all sorts of possibilities in between. Lots of alternatives that are even sketched in the interim report about how it can carry out its work, and those are the things that the final report looks at.
Right.
And we haven't preempted what we do next, because government likes to come with actions to do next rather than just the analysis from consultants, and that's still work that's in train.
Tell us who's going to decide the future of the Manx Development Corporation then.
The shareholder is Treasury, so we'll be fundamentally involved. The Council of Ministers is the government of the Isle of Man, and Tim Ward has made some important decisions about that. So it'll be those people, and obviously the House of Keys part of Tim Ward is subject to a general election at the moment. Mm. So I do think how to deal with brownfield sites and how we've done with things like the Island Infrastructure Scheme as well will be general election issues.
And what do you think the Manx Development Corporation itself will make of this interim report? Surely, since its inception, it's been shouting about these issues.
Well, a big shout out and thanks to the Manx Development Corporation and all the other people around the island, because they've worked with these consultants in workshops. There's appendices to this interim report which give the terms of reference of the consultants' work, and also the questions that they asked about construction cost inflation to the stakeholders like the Manx Development Corporation and the private sector. And so essentially the Manx Development Corporation has seen more than the interim report already. Mm. They've also seen drafts of the final report, as have several other people. So this is not going to be a surprise to them. And now we've got to make decisions in the light of the evidence that we see.
In popular discourse, it's always been said that brownfield regeneration is better than greenfield regeneration. Yet, Atkins Realis says brownfield sites present additional complexity and uncertainty when compared to greenfield development opportunities and are often more financially sensitive. Is this report going to be used in the future as an excuse to ignore brownfield sites and move to greenfield?
No, definitely not. We need to use the tools that are available to us that are laid out clearly in this final report, and in other places, to make sure that we don't allow our town centres to hollow out. What you quoted is correct. It's cheaper to develop on the edge of towns and the edge of urban areas, but we can't let that mean that we have hollowed out our town centres.
What is the multi-year capital programme going to look like that you've proposed?
So that's been work in progress for former Treasury ministers and former government before I joined. I've accelerated the process in as much as we need to finish it. So it has been called the Strategic Infrastructure Needs Assessment. Before this government, it used to be called the National Infrastructure Strategy. We just basically need to identify what we need to do to maintain what we've got and to replace what we've got, perhaps, or invest in what we've got with new things alongside in across the whole works, whether that be for Home Affairs in terms of what they need, or whether it be in terms of schools or health services or highways or ports or whatever. And so the capital programme is actually identifying what needs to be done, whether it be over 5 years, 10 years or 25 years. And then we need to work out how we finance that and in what order we provide it.
The Department for Enterprise says it will also bring forward proposals for a further round of the Ireland Infrastructure Scheme. I'm hearing, is the message then that we just need to throw more money towards the construction sector?
It has been expensive in one sense. There have been many millions spent on the Manx Development Corporation from borrowed money from the facility it has with Lloyds Bank, and also from the public purse through equity investments. Money has been used from the Economic Fund for the Island Infrastructure Scheme. So many millions have already been spent. So what you say then is true in that sense. And more will be needed for the brownfield sites and how that's channeled into filling out and stopping future hollowing of our town sites is work still to be done and determined how we do it.
I suppose finally I want to ask you, what does this report actually achieve? We've seen some forecasts in here that tender prices will rise by a further 7.5% in both this year and next year, outpacing the UK. That's caveated with messages about the fact that we're being impacted by the war in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Do you hope this report will serve as a crossroads, a change of direction from here on out, that we could do something about it and actually slow the projection of travel here?
Yes, I announced during my first budget speech that this report was being done. We've got a parallel one on how we carry out projects. We've got another project on producing that capital programme, that multi-year infrastructure programme. We're also doing things like prioritising budget, because once you have infrastructure, you have to maintain them out of revenue budget and you have to operate them out of revenue budget. So I think this is a moment where, and it's always good, and it's good that this moment is at the same time as a general election, where we refocus government and the use of people's money, their own money, on the public services and the public infrastructure. It's a good moment to make a change, and I want to make the reason it's important that we publish this interim report now is because we've got an election on the 24th of September.
So in a year's time, Minister, if you're still in the next administration, we can come to you and say what has been achieved, and you'll be able to tell us something, won't you?
Yeah, and moreover than that, by Christmas, I would hope we'd have made announcements about infrastructure, capital programme, about ways to approach Manx Development Corporation, the Island Infrastructure Scheme, how we manage projects, but most importantly, how we make sure that we have the right school provision, the right healthcare provision in terms of infrastructure to provide it.